You there, Jay?
Blog Talk Radio.
Right. Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Valerie Parker. I'm a businesswoman, author, and speaker. My three books, the first, From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. My second book, Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future. And the third book, Restored Vessels, Young Adults Overcoming Adversities. I'm delighted to be with you another night. It's Tuesday, and I have a special guest with me, J.R. Thicklin, who's a pastor by trade. He's a motivational speaker, life coach. Jay Thicklin, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you for having me this evening.
Well, we're going to have a hot topic tonight here on Hot Topics from the Soul, and it's called Purpose in the Pain. We were bouncing off of each other a couple of days ago, and, you know, at times I, you know, be thinking about what we should talk about that would be edifying to encourage and motivate individuals to tap into their full potential in life. But so many people are going through adversities right now. A lot of people are struggling, and they can't get a grip on life. But one thing I do know is that whatever storm you're in, the storm doesn't last always. Trouble don't last. I remember watching Color Purple, and Whoopi Goldberg made a statement to Oprah and said,
right,
trouble don't last always, which means it's going to get better. It's going to light up sooner or later. Do in the midst of that turmoil is going to determine the outcome of the situation. So in us talking about from the purpose in the pain, I know you've just gone through some situations in your life, and I wanted you to kind of share and say how that worked for you. What did you find in the midst of that situation of your coming through it?
Well, it's interesting because of the fact what I found out in the midst of the pain and the things that I was going through and actually come through is this, is that even inside of the pain, there was a message that was being revealed unto me. And the thing that I recognize is that pain is oftentimes the only way that a message can be transmitted to us. Oftentimes, we don't get messages during our up season. We're not always open to receive messages when we're doing well and when things are going good. And so after many different ways, I believe that God tries to deal with us to get our attention, and they have failed. Not that God has failed, but those messages have failed to get our attention. Oftentimes, it is pain that brings us to the reality that there is something that needs to be said and a statement that needs to be made in our life.
Absolutely. And one of the things you pointed out is a lot of times we won't hear. We're not able to get messages that are sent to us from up above, because when everything is going well, then, you know, we have the tendency to fall off. We forget God and act like we are our own kings and queens in the earth and fail to acknowledge who he truly is. So in that turmoil, in that midst of confusion, is when God actually speaks. And it's like the refining fire. You know, when you take gold and you put it in some heat, it kind of, that's where it gets its glister, its shimmer from, is being compressed by that heat. And sometimes when we're in that midst of that storm, that fire gets real hot.
Oh, you better believe
it. And we're wondering what's going on.
Yeah, that fire gets hot, and that fire gets hot for a reason, because their time, see, there's a tolerance that everyone has. There's a certain tolerance. We have been taught, we have been built, even by human nature, there's a resiliency that we establish. You know, it starts out when we're very young, even as babies, we use the word temperament. You know, what is that child's temperament? What type of temperament that they have? Well, oftentimes our temperament is being continuously built as we grow. and as we even grow older. And the thing about it, because of life lessons, our mindsets, the things that we've been taught, we don't always know where to place those things. We don't always know when to place them. So we find ourselves struggling here. We will go, well, I'm going to endure. I'm going to get through this. I'm going to hang on. I'm going to do all of these things. I'm going to hang on to the very end. And there are times there are things that we're hanging on to that God really wants us to let go. And so a lot of our pain becomes self-inflicted because of our message, of the message that we are playing at that time. I'm holding on. I'm holding on. But it might be the time that God is saying, no, let go. Let go of what I'm trying to pry out of your hands. Let go of what I'm trying to pry out of your life. And when you don't let go, then that is when God, watch God, in his mercy, in his grace, and even in his patience, he gives you another opportunity. He allows another season of trying to get a message to you, whether it's through somebody, whether it's a friend, whether it's a neighbor. You could be passing by listening to someone on the radio. You could be watching a movie. And I promise you, God is faithful to try to get a message to us. But a problem, we don't always listen. So what happens, he goes through all these different seasons with us. And when we don't hear it, in order for God to save us, watch this, to help us save ourselves, to help us save ourselves from being ultimately destroyed, God would allow pain to come. And pain comes sometimes in a way that we're not ready for it. It comes, it's never comfortable. Pain is never comfortable. But when that pain comes, we've got to recognize the message. What is it that God was saying? What is it that God was trying to open my eyes to? What is it that he was trying to really warm me up that was down the road? Because that's only when we stop and understand that message will we really have truly extracted from that pain what God wants us to extract from it.
As a survivor of domestic abuse, you know, I stayed in a marriage for 19 years, 17 of which was physical, and the other 2 years was the time I spent weaning away and going through the divorce process. And you mentioned something very relevant. You said that in the midst of that fire, God will be saying, let go, and we still want to hold on. And we hold on for different reasons. We make excuses for us not wanting to shift, because sometimes it causes us some discomfort. Sometimes it'll cause us to be in territory that's unfamiliar to us. But in the midst of that shift and what God is trying to do, he will sprinkle some sunshine in the midst of that rain, only because he cares about us. Because I know for myself, while walking in that, I kept saying, why me, God? Why? Why am I going through this situation? What is the purpose for what I'm being afflicted on? Why is it that this is happening to me? I didn't understand it while I was in the midst of it, but I will tell you, Jay, that since I've come out of it, it's been like 16 years now, the revelations happen every day, because I'm constantly reminded, I'm constantly have to minister to my children and minister to those that I hold dear to me, and to allow them to know that in the midst of that, it became a teaching process. I learned some things. I got some gray hair that carries some weight in the process. We have to go through the fire in order to come out. Because like I said, you know, in the midst of that, I couldn't understand, because I was talking to my dear friend, Dr. Lavinia Allen, today, and we were sharing that sometimes when you're in something, when the road is so turbulent, it feels like we're being punished. But it's not a punishment. It's a learning experience, and we don't know where affliction comes from. We don't know why we go through certain things, but we know that according to God's word, my favorite book, the Book of Books, that, you know, there's a reason, and he said that he would never leave us or forsake us, and that he would be there in the midst of it.
Well, you know, definitely, that's the thing about it. You know, it's kind of like, it's not that he's rejecting us, but most time he's protecting us. We have to understand that what we're going through, understand, God knows the purpose and the reason why we're going through. And what we need to understand, there are certain things that we do that may cause a season or precipitate things to happen in our lives. But there are other things that are totally out of our control. They are designed by God to keep us from going down a certain path or to preserve us for the greater purpose that he has for us. And the thing that we must understand, once again, is that we have to live close enough to really hear what he is saying. Because I can attest to you, pastor and all, have been saved all my life, literally, and all the things that I've, there are lessons that I've learned in my latter years, and let's be more specific, in the last 2.5, 3 years that I did not know. I had not faced those things before. I had not been in that situation before. And as a result of it, I ended up in much pain. And then, let me be very transparent, I also caused some pain.
Mm-hmm.
See, I caused pain because of me failing to recognize what was going on with me and through me and in me. And until we recognize those things there, until we recognize those things there, what will happen is that we'll keep on, if you would, meandering through the wilderness, and we'll never, ever get to where God wants us to get to in our life. In other words, we're stuck. We're stuck. We're stuck in the wilderness, but God has a way to unstick us out of the wilderness, and sometimes that comes through pain. The writer in Psalms said, if I had not been afflicted, I would have not seen the glory of the Lord. I would have not have seen what he was doing and desiring to do in my life. So pain has a purpose.
Absolutely. And one of the things you said was that in the midst of you being in pain, you afflicted pain, and that's how it is, especially as it relates to relationships and those that are so close and dear to us. We get, you know, we go through situations in our life, like, say, you know, I know with my children, I could be going through some things and they not understanding, and they just keep, mom, 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 and then I lash out at them and yell at them, you know, not meaning to, but that anger is not really towards them, is because I don't understand. I'm trying to work out in my emotions. I'm trying to feel my way through. So in the midst of that, you know, we hurt people because we're hurting. And the thing is, trying to identify, trying to pull back those layers, trying to identify and walk upright in the midst of the storm. Because like I said, those clouds get cloudy sometimes. They get mighty dark, and we lose our way. We lose our footing. We slip. And when we're in relationships and we've got family members around us, we will wind up hurting people if we don't stop, if we don't take the time to process where we are and what it is that we have to do in order to get to the other side. And more foremost, what is the lesson in the pain? What is it that we need to learn so that we won't repeat the cycle, is the thing that we have to decipher in our emotions and our mind. And that's why the soul of a woman, Hot Topics from the Soul, exists. It transcends beyond women. It transcends beyond men. It's a global thing because of the fact that we go through so many things as a people. We go through so many things as a race, as a culture, so many diversities. We go through it. But by the grace of God, we're still here. We're still standing. And the next thing we have to decipher is, what is our purpose in the midst of that pain that we're going through?
I think you hit it right on the head, because, see, if we don't know our purpose, understand, if we don't know our purpose, we ultimately abuse our purpose. We don't know. And inside of abusing our purpose, not only do we abuse ourselves, but we abuse people that are in our line of dealings, and the people that we interact with, and sometimes the people that are closest to us. And so we have to understand pain. And so when we go through the pain that we're going through, we must understand, if I'm going through something that is very uncomfortable for me, there's a message that God is saying to us. You know, the body itself, pain is an indication to let us know that something is out of order. Pain is an indication to let us know that something is out of order. Something either stretched one way too far or stretched another way too far. Pain is that indicator to us. But if we take in the wrong lesson, see, sometimes we don't know when to stop enduring. Watch this. We don't know when to let go. And if we don't know when to let go, this is what will happen to us. We will exert energy and we will cause pain in our lives that God may not have even wanted. Someone said something to me the other day I thought was so powerful, and it was talking about Jesus on the cross. You know, the prophecy had said that when, you know, that his bone would not be broken. Understand, his bone would not be broken on the cross. His bone would not be broken. Well, even Jesus, while he was on the cross, had to learn, he knew when to give up the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
But had he not given up the ghost when he did, perhaps his bones would have been broken just like the thieves on both sides of him. But, you know, he said, what? Father, I commend my spirit unto you. And he gave up the ghost. He knew when to let go. And that those are things, even when we're struggling, we have to know how to raise our hands and throw up our hands and say, Father, I'm letting go of this situation. I invite you to take it. I need you to reveal to me your purpose of why I'm going through. I need you to reveal this. Because, see, it's not enough to go through. See, that's the thing that we have to always keep in mind. It's not enough to go through pain, to go through wilderness, to go through trials, to go through situations. To go through without grow through is negligent. To go through, to always go through and never grow through it. See, once we grow through it, that's when the purpose of the pain, that's what you just got through describing. When you look back, 16 years have gone now, and you look back on it, there are things that you have grown through. There are things that you have grown by because of that pain and experience. And all of us need to look for that inside of it, that I'm going to grow through even this pain that I've gone through. It hurts, yes. Heartbreak, abandonment, rejection, abuse, put-downs, low self-esteem, criticism, church hurt, relationship hurt, whatever it may be, disappointment, failed expectation, those things happen. But we have to understand something, that God will bring us through if we will, first of all, give it back to him. See, give it back to him, because see, only he can help us endure the pain. He can help us endure the pain even while we're going through. And that's where we'll find the silver lining in the cloud.
Yeah, because his word also says that, you know, he has that healing balm of Gilead
that can heal
that wounded heart and that broken spirit. And I had to learn that even today. I was talking to Melba Spears last night out of Dallas, and
yes,
you know, she's
Melba,
a psalmist, and we were talking, and I was sharing with her some things, and, you know, she had to spank me. She had to spank me and say, you know, and I kind of caught on to myself. She says, Valerie, it's going to get better. You have got to hold on to your faith. You know, you have sown seeds and you've planted so many different things along the way, you know, tangible financial seeds, emotional seeds, physical seeds. You've sowed of your time. God is not unrighteous to forget you. And yesterday I had posted on Facebook, I said, my emergency isn't God's emergency, but he's always right on time. We've got to believe. And, you know, I had to embrace that into my spirit, into my thought pattern, to know without wavering that it's going to be okay. And then today the sun began to shine again. The clouds started parting away. And I woke up with a new attitude, new strength, and new focus, because I remembered who I was. I remembered the things that I've done. You know, the word of God also talks about bringing things to the remembrance. Not that God doesn't know, but in reminding him of the things he said, that he is not unrighteous to forget our works and labor of love and how we ministered and have ministered to his people. So in the midst of that, if he can take care of them, he can surely take care of me. And I tell you, I caught courage sometimes. And that's one of the things that we have to do in the midst of this journey. I don't care if you're not a believer, or you have to find someone that's an accountability partner that will hold your vision in their bosom to remind you of who you are and that commitment and that promise that God made. See, if you already said, God, I'm committed to doing this, and in the midst of that pain, we forget. You know, just like I've brought four children into this world, And while I was laying there on that table, all kind of pain was running through my body, shooting like fire. But after it was over, after the pain had subsided, it was though it never existed. So that's how it is when we're going through that pain. It's that light affliction, but it's for a moment. But I reckon that the suffering of this present time shall not be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us.
God.
Now, when he said that glory is going to be revealed in us, that means that there had to have been some glory there for it to be revealed. So that meant that I had already been refined. I'm being refined. You're being refined. People are being refined in that fine refiner's fire. And that glory, that sparkle is going to come out sooner or later. But we got to go through the process. Life is a process. Our situation is a process. Our victory is a process. Our finances is a process. Our destiny is a process. We have to follow the process, which means we have to be pressure cooked.
My. Well put. Well put. And we do have to be pressure cooked. And that's the thing about it that we have to recognize. Our going through is not because we have done something wrong always. And that's the thing we have to dismiss. It has nothing to do with, well, I've done something wrong always. No. God is positioning us even through the pain. See, whatever we're going through, it cannot last. It didn't come to stay. It only came to pass. And see, in that process of what's happening, God is doing things that comfort can't do. There are certain things, very few miracles are birthed out of comfort. Very few great ideas, inventions are birthed out of comfort. Very few achievements and accomplishments comes out of comfort. It comes because there's been a need. There's been a need that's been created. There's been a necessity that have come to pass. And when we recognize that, that is what generally gets us to come to what we need to be.
Absolutely. I was talking to a young man today, and he was like, I want to be a motivational speaker. I want to make all this money. I want to do all this. And, you know, I had to say, kind of slow down a minute. Okay, where are you working? What have you done? What are you doing? Because, see, this journey isn't something that you could just conjure up and pull out of a cereal box. It's a process. What you do
Indeed.
Is a process. Me doing this, I remember 3 years ago when I started Hot Topics from the Soul, you know, it was you and I had Ken Timmons on the line, Suave Walker. I had all men. What did I do? I called the men because the men were strong. I knew they would hold my arms up. It wasn't a woman's call. It was a universal call that because I wanted to empower and inspire lives, and I didn't know quite how it was going to turn out, and I didn't know what I was going to do as far as speaking because I, you know, I did some radio interviews, but actually to dominate and hold the calls and host the call, I was scared to death. But I call the headship. I call for the head to lead and guide me because, see, a body can't function without a head.
Amen.
So I called and reached out for spiritual coverings that were there to uplift my hands and to gird me so that they would be my protection because there's some things that a woman can't do. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I said it. We are the weaker vessels as far as that's concerned because and as I'd be joking on the show sometime, I said that meant that we're not strong as far as moving furniture. But because we're mighty in power in the spirit. Because some things you guys can't do except I birthed it through because we're spiritual incubators. We have that womb, and in that womb it's a process. We carry that vision, that purpose in our bellies, and we speak it out of our mouths, and we birth it in the chamber of travail and nurturing and putting it together because you guys are visionaries. Y'all see things already done where we have to put the pieces together to make it work.
Exactly right. You know, and even that is inside of God's design. And watch this. There are times that our pain will come to reset us back in that position to recognize, hey, you're out of place. You're out of order. You're out of order, and I've got to cause some pain so that you can get back in order. You know, one of the things that we're talking about, even when it comes to one of the most biggest tricks of the enemy is that when I hear a woman say, well, I don't need a man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need a man, you know, the reality is that is really demonic, that there's nothing in Scripture
and so many of us got too many men.
Exactly. So, you know, so we know there's nothing in Scripture that says that, but every part, the Bible talks about every joint fitly supplied the other. That means that we all have purpose, we have a reason, we have roles that we are meant to play. And when those things are not happening, we feel the discomfort of it. We feel the strain of it. We feel the frustration of it. Why? Because God have designed that we operate together, that we operate in a certain order. And we have to recognize that, once again, pain is oftentimes a signal, an sign to us that something is out of place, it's out of order. You know, our cards are very much like our body. When our cards are about to run hot, meaning the fact that it's not properly being lubricated, it's not properly being cooled, there's an indicator on our gauge that begins to show us that it's running hot, that it's getting hot, it's out of order, it's not functioning well. And guess what? In the same fashion, God begins to speak to us in many ways, that same way, but we're not always listening. Because long as the car can still roll, long as it can still crank, long as it still can go from point A to point B, most of us will ride it out until something greater happened. What is that greater thing? Pain.
Yes, absolutely. And a lot of times it's because God wants us to just stop. Just stop, because we have that locomotive just running. We just fidgety. We're so impatient, don't have the patience. I was talking to Shirley Carter, who's our co-host here, and I was saying to her, just step away, just shut down, and just let God speak. Don't worry about nothing. Just be still. And that's what we have to do sometimes. We have to shut it down and be still. Why? Because we're making too much noise. We're busy yakking and fumbling around, and it's not making any sense, and we're confused and have everybody else around us confused, so he just wants us to just shut it down. So sometime affliction comes to our bodies to shut us down, for us to be still so we can hear what he's saying, because he speaks in a whisper. He doesn't speak in no loud. We're loud, and God is not going to be loud, too.
God has a purpose inside of all of it. I love what you said. You know, there's a sign to say, shut it down, shut it down. We don't want to shut it down sometimes, because you know what? We confuse having to shut up, shut things down, slow up, as somehow or another, it is some type of failure, it is some type of disappointment, it is some type of indictment on who we are. But no, God knows it, that it's not in running, but it's in resting. You know, it is not in that running that we find the strength of the Lord, but it's in resting. When we rest in him, that is when he's able to rejuvenate us. That's when he's able to prepare us for the next thing that is ahead of us. But when we don't rest and we just keep running, I promise you we're going to encounter pain, whether it's pain of jumping into a relationship too soon, too quickly, and have not been healed from a previous relationship, whether it's pain from trying to self-medicate ourselves from something that we had a disappointment in. And that's why we have to learn, we have to grow through whatever we have gone through. Because if we don't grow through it, Val, what happened is that we become bitter rather than better. And that's why you have a lot of bitter people. They're angry. They're bitter because they have gone through, but they have not grown through.
Tyler Perry wrote that play, Diary of Mad Black Women. Well, I say and submit to you that there are black men that are angry and frustrated because they're in relationships, they're in marriages, and they're bitter because they feel stuck. They know they made a mistake. And a lot of times we do that because we want someone so badly to we'll settle for that individual, not realizing that once you settle, you're going for the long haul. They just see that temporary fix, but when that temporary becomes permanent, then it's a problem. We were talking, and I said to you, Jay, I said, you need to just stop. Don't listen to outside influences. You know, you were dealing with your parents, and I want to commend you for the work and the labor of love that you demonstrated through them for the last few years. You've been their caregiver, you and your siblings. And, I mean, a lot of men don't take time to do that. You shut down half of your life to take care of your parents. You were first partakers of what you talk about, what you preach about. You showed love in the midst of an uncomfortable situation. You had so much turmoil going on, but yet you were committed to doing that, for honoring them, and I salute you for that.
Well, thanks, Val. You know, and it wasn't an easy thing, as you know. I mean, self-sacrifice was tremendous. And inside of saying self-sacrifice, it went beyond self, you know, because mm-hmm. inside of doing that, my kids was part of that sacrifice.
Right.
One would say my career or what I did was part of that sacrifice. But you said something earlier that actually was the part that have kept me going, and that you said this, that we know that when we have planted seeds and we have sown seeds, that we know that it will not go unrewarded. And so I understood in investing into the lives of my parents and especially in the life of my father, you know, over the last few years, it was something that I knew. First of all, it was an honor for me to do this. I know that regardless of whatever state I might be in or have been in, I knew that God would honor that. The second part of it was this. I recognized that things was haywire. There were a lot of things going on with me. There are a lot of traumatic things, one thing after another that was going on. And sometimes the only thing I could hold on to was knowing that God sees the sacrifice and God knows the pain. Those are the things I had to hold on to.
Yeah, and in the midst of that, too, you went through a marriage that ended.
Oh, yeah.
All in the midst of that, and then you went through relationships. But the thing is, I kept saying, Jay, you have to discover who you are. You have to reconnect with your own identity, because I knew the sacrifices that you've laid on the table. And a lot of times, this is what we do. We get so caught up in somebody else's vision or somebody else's problem, and we become sacrifices, and a lot of times it wasn't meant for us to be that total sacrifice in the first place. It was meant for us to serve, but not to the point that we die, or as a person, or or our dreams die within us, because then that's where frustration comes in at. Because you know you're not on course, you want more, you want more, you want more, and you want to, and you know that there's more, and you, it's like walking in the midst of darkness, feeling your way, trying to find that light switch. And when you can't
exactly
put your hand on it, it's like, where is the light? I need the breakthrough. I need to get through this. And it becomes confusion, it becomes a turmoil in our spirits and our souls, our hearts, our mind, all discombobulated. But you work through it.
Yeah, you're right. But the powerful lesson, you just made it so perfectly clear, the powerful lesson learned from that is the fact of, you know, that you had to recognize, am I doing this the way God want to do it? Am I doing it to the glory of God? Because I believe this, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. And so even to the point, you, like you said, you had to know when to do it, when to hold them and when to fold them and to do some things. And I charted on some uncharted territory during this time. I mean, you know, I think about it, it's been about 4 years, almost 4 years since my divorce. And all my adult life, I've been married.
Mm-hmm,
I mean,
mm-hmm.
You know, I would love to say to one person, but all my adult life, I've been married. So I had never really experienced singleness for any substantial period of time. Not at all. So I had not, life had been in a box. I truly had subscribed to things that, you know, we've been taught, didn't want to be a single pastor and all those type things. And, you know, but I had to realize that even in the midst of that season, God was setting the stage and yet is setting that stage for me to discover me. Who am I besides the pastor, besides the motivational speaker, besides that person who's always making a difference in everyone else's life? And those are the things that had to be discovered. And because it's a natural part of me to make a difference, it's a natural part of me, you know, and we feel good about it. But understand this. One of the side effects or one of the things that come out of that type of a mindset is oftentimes the disease to please syndrome. So the disease to please syndrome means that oftentimes you sacrifice yourself trying to please everyone else.
Yes.
You know, you're playing Superman for everyone.
And that you were.
Exactly right. I mean, cape and all, you know. You know, and so there have been some painful lessons. Exactly. And that's what I lived in that time.
Yes. Yeah, and I kept saying that I would reach out to you and just call you and say, Jay, I love you.
I love you.
It's going to be okay.
Just because, a reminder. It's okay.
Yeah, because sometimes it doesn't take all of that. Sometimes
exactly
you don't
right.
need to be engulfed in people's business or no one. And sometimes, you know, first of all, if you're connected to someone in the spirit, if they're close to you as a friend, the Lord will lay on your heart to pray for them, because I know in my quiet time in the mornings, God lays people on my heart, and sometimes I'll send them a text and say, I was praying for you this morning, have a great day, and just, or sometimes I'll just say, I love you, because, you know, people need to hear that. I had a young lady on the show last week, Chris Nather, and when I first connected with her on Facebook, I said, hello, queen, and she told me that it just really made her day. She just walked around that day when trouble came. She just stood up in herself and said, I'm a queen. A queen knows how to stay in her zone, how to rule and rule her kingdom well. And that's what we have to do. We have to constantly be reminded of who we are and whose we are.
Exactly.
So that the
You're
enemy, that boogeyman that dwells inside, that nitpicker that's always in our ear telling us what we're not and telling us what we're not going to do, telling us how we're not going to succeed, that boogeyman becomes diminished when we recognize and know whose we are.
That's the greatest lesson that comes out of all of this, is that's often part of the pain, is when we've gotten off focus and off centered, and we lose sight of who we are and whose we are. And when we lose sight of who we are and whose we are, we become open game for many darts and for many other attacks. And we make silly decisions during that time. We make very ill-advised decisions during those times. And because of that loss of focus, that loss of recognizing whose we are and who we are, because of that, we end up suffering, sometimes needless. You know, the old songwriter, penned the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear. You know, and then it goes to say, what needless pain that we carry, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We lose sight. And when we lose sight, we make bad decisions. And that is why we have to stop, even after the pain. Gather a lesson inside of it. What is God saying to us inside of the pain that we've just gone through? It hurt. And I've learned this, Val, is that even when it comes to the point that you've learned a lesson from your pain, it will shape the way that you handle things futuristically. Doesn't mean that you have to be bitter, but let me say something. There's something about light, and when I say light, meaning revelation, unveiling a thing that should make us wiser. So guess what? If I know that my approach last time is what landed me in this situation, I need to change that approach. So guess what? I'm not so free to just engage in certain conversation or engage in certain things. Why? Because I know and I've learned from my experience what it leads to.
Yeah, I like that. You said, I know. I know in whom I believe, and I am committed until that day of redemption. Because if we stay committed, we will be redeemed at the end. Rather it be on our jobs, in our finances, or our relationships, we will be redeemed if we stay committed, if we keep the focus. That road of purpose is a narrow road, and few there be that find it. A lot of times we're walking and God is saying, go right, go right. And we're like, I hear you, but I need to go left right quick. I need to make a pit stop. And it hinders us from getting to that destination of purpose, that destination of the why it is that we are who we are and why it is that we have to function the way we do. It is that purpose, that turmoil. It has been a rough road for a lot of us. I'm not exempt from that, and that's why I keep people around me to keep me inspired and remind me of the things like Melba Spears and Dr. Lavinia Allen and Shirley Carter and Jay.
Yeah.
You, all these people that I have watched, the people you have around you. Watch those people that you feed off of. I have Cheryl Nix on the show a lot, you know, to feed into individuals. Dwight Pleasure. These are people that I trust with my life. These are people that I know that if I can and pick up the phone and call, that they'll be there. Not so much if I'm not just talking about money. I mean be there in the spirit, that can get a prayer through to God and say, okay, my sister's in trouble. Not, you don't need anybody that's going to talk about what the mess you made, because you already know you in a mess. You need somebody
that's going
to hold your hand and lead you out of that darkness into the light. You don't want anybody to say, girl, you made a mess, or boy, you all jacked up. I don't know how you got into this situation and then dialing and calling everybody. No, you need somebody that's going to hold you in your bosom and hold that purpose that they know you. Because first of all, a lot of people know who you are before you recognize who you are.
Wow, and that is so true.
You don't get the full glimpse of who you are first. Other people have to tell you who you are sometimes, because it goes back to what I was saying about you're so busy, you're so fumbling, you're doing this and doing that. Instead of standing still, they're watching you and seeing that character, seeing who you are, that personality, seeing that God, seeing that light in you, and you're fumbling around missing it.
Wow, wow. And it's so true. And you said something that's so important. We have to watch the people that we have speaking in our lives and around us. That makes a big difference. And because, see, people that can see, and this is what marks really not only true friendship, but it marks truly the spirit of the brethren. You see, it's when I could still see who you are and not judge you. I can love you through what you are and what you've done, because, see, I really have not lost sight on the God that's really inside of you. I still see that. I know that it's there. I understand that whatever you're going through, it's a process. You're in a process, you know. That's what's happening. You are in a process. In the meantime, in between time, guess what? God have people in your life that will hold you up, that will encourage you, that will continue to speak life into your life and not try to remind you or try to point you to a different direction. There are so many times, and you and I have been friends for a number of years, but even how God has connected us even greater over the last, what, 5, 7, 8 years, it's been amazing.
Right.
Because there are times, even during the last process, even here with the passing of my father and going through, your three words made a difference. Sometimes you would call, as much as we're friends, just say, hey, Jay, I love you. All right, just checking on you. It was amazing, because it was strength for me. It was wind beneath my wing. It was truly that part of life that said, you know who really has your back. You really know who has your back. Because here are individuals that they could see not only that you're going through, but they know that you're coming through. And they're just there to say, look, hey, I'm here. I'm here, and I'm here for you. And that's important. And even that is part of accountability because they love you so much. And guess what? Even when they see you going through things, that they encourage you, say, you're coming out of that. You're coming out of it. And that's what's very crucial in our time. So our purpose inside of what we're going through will be revealed. Here's the thing. Romans 8 says something that is so powerful. He said, "For we know that all things are working together for the good of them that love the Lord and them that are called according to his purpose." What things? All things. Not just good things. Even the pain that we go through. You know, I have to say this part here is one of my favorite part of Scripture. In the 51st Psalm, we all read about, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to the loving kind, according to the multitude of the mercy, blot out my transgression." Here's David's prayer, and he's crying out. This is after Nathan the prophet have come to him, confronted him about Bathsheba. But you know what we fail to understand? David goes on, I believe, in a particular verse, maybe 8th verse or 13th, he says this. He says, "Cause me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones that thou hast broken may rejoice." Mm. I mean, are you kidding me? What's this?
The bones
cause
that have been broken.
Yeah, cause me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones that thou hast broken may rejoice. Now, I don't want to hear pain. I don't want to hear rhetoric. I don't want to hear pity. I don't want to hear frustration. Cause me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones that thou, not me, you broke, God, may rejoice. The difference between that is understanding the purpose of pain. Oh, God, the pain that I've gone through, I don't want it to destroy me, and I know that you won't let it destroy me, but cause me to hear the joy and gladness, that the bones that thou have broken may rejoice. As a woman, the Bible declares, when a woman travails and she goes through childbirth, but once she has delivered, she remembers the pain no more.
And I'm a witness.
What an awesome thing. So there's purpose in our pain. And when we understand that purpose, it's to move us to the next level. It's to move us to the next revelation, to move us to our better self, to move us to the soberness. Because sometimes we need to be made sober because we're intoxicated on foolishness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You said we're intoxicated. That means we're in a drunkenness with foolishness.
Exactly.
And you know, we also talked earlier in the show about, you know, living an illusion and being making ourselves sacrifices, self-afflicting pain. You know, there's a lot of times when the Father's saying, "Let it go, let it go, let it go." And we want to hold on to it. Why? Because it's familiar. Even though it's toxic, we hold on to it because it's familiar. And we're afraid to shift gears. We're afraid to move to another zone. We're afraid because it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable when the reality of it is you can get to that promise because you've held on, you've chosen. So in actuality, you're rejecting the gift of the promise that was given to you because you refuse to let go and let God move forward in our lives.
Wow. That's a powerful thing. Wow.
And we do it, and so many of us do it every day. We do it every day, not realizing it. So those of you that are on the line or listening on internet, replay the show, email someone and replay it, and let it marinate through your spirit. Anytime you feel weak, anytime you feel like you can't make it through, play this show to motivate you and also to inspire you and encourage you that if you don't get it together, others will be lost because you're not in your proper space. I was talking with this young lady today, and I bumped into her, and she was saying what she envisioned for herself. And I'm like, "Well, why haven't you done it?" And she was saying, "Well, every time I got to do it, you know, the people that I had going with me, they didn't want to do it. So I said, but it's not their vision. That's not their assignment. They're not going to be excited about that assignment because it's not theirs. God gave it to you. So as long as you're not doing what you're supposed to do, you are hindering someone from flourishing. You're hindering someone from being in their birthright, getting the inheritance that was laid out for them. You're shortchanging them from an inheritance. And we do it self-consciously every day, not realizing it. Well, not only do we strip our children of their inheritance, but we shift and strip the world and those individuals that God has assigned to our hands. They lose their inheritance.
Wow. And that is so important, because when we lose that, we lose our sense of identity, our sense of purpose. You know, there are a lot of people we see today on the street. We may identify them as drug addicts. We may identify them as alcoholics. We may identify them as any of those things, that negativity. But what we fail to recognize, that oftentimes what we're looking at is someone who lost their identity, someone who lost sight of who they were, someone who did not overcome the pain, who did not endure the pain, someone who did not stand in that hour of testing. And we have to recognize, be it not for the grace of God, it could be us. And the thing about it, all those individuals that way are not just that way because they didn't know God. Some of them was actively professing their faith, but they were stuck. They got stuck. Something in life got them stuck. They took their eyes off God just long enough. And sometimes we take our eyes off God and we have these seasons. We back up and we have what has been commonly referred to as sin breaks. We have our sin breaks, and we don't know that we're always going to make it back from those sin breaks. We don't know how or what state of mind we're going to be in after we come from that sin break, because all the things the enemy needs is broken fellowship. See, it is the fellowship with God that keeps us strong. It is the fellowship with the Word that keeps us strong. It is what keeps our mind renewed. It is what we need in this day and time. Yes, the economy is crazy. Yes, we're going through some of the most treacherous time of our life. But I got one thing to say. God the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We've gone through things. This country has gone through things in time past. History shows that we've gone through Great Depression. We've gone through great turmoil. We've gone through all of those things before. And guess what? God brought us out then. And what we have to recognize in this time, in day and time, it doesn't matter how fancy or how informed politicians may sound or whatever, we've got to trust in the ultimate word, and that is the word of God, and stay in fellowship with him, because it's the fellowship with him that gives us the assurance that where we're going, that we're coming out.
You know, as you were saying that, Jay, what word dropped in my spirit, and I don't know who's listening, but the word is simply this: remember the God of your youth. Remember the God of your youth. You know, when we were young, little children, we didn't have any cares. No. We didn't worry about anything because we had our earthly father and our earthly mother that looked after us. But in actuality, it was God all the time protecting us, the God of our youth. And as he protected us then, he will protect us now.
Yes.
So remember the God of your youth when your thoughts and your mind was innocent. You didn't have all this confusion. Here again, talking about that confusion. So that's what's going on in the atmosphere, confusion. People are walking around bumping into walls and stuff because they're confused. They don't know if they'd rather to go to left, right, front, backwards. They're confused. But if you remember the God of your youth, the innocence of your heart, the innocence of your mind when it wasn't compiled with so many things, so many issues, we'll be able to see a breakthrough. because we believed what our father said without questioning, without doubting.
Wow.
We believed him to be just who he said he was.
Wow. You know, and sometimes we get too learned. we get too much sense to truly believe like that again. We get too much sense. You know, sometimes we start thinking that the things that we accomplish has been of ourselves. But if it had not been for the Lord who is on our side, where would we be?
Absolutely.
And that's the thing that we have to go back to. And that childlike faith, when we believe, I mean, there are things we just believe, you know, that it would happen. I mean, you think about it, even in the whole thing of Santa Claus, little children believe that, hey, on that day, something is going to be delivered for me.
And they wavered not.
And they waver not inside of it. It doesn't matter what is going on around the house. It doesn't matter whether the light's been turned off or water, whatever. They believe that, guess what, come Christmas, there's going to be gifts for me under that tree. And we've got to understand that if we believe, he's a rewarder. He's a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. He's a rewarder to them that put their trust in him. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, time is winding up. We've got like 4 minutes left.
Yeah, time has passed very quickly. I know that there are people that are on and either by internet or by phone, and I pray that it's been a blessing to them this evening.
Well, J.R. Ficklin, thank you so much for joining me on Hot Topics from the Soul. Those that would like to connect with you, how can they do that?
Well, they can reach me at manofpurpose2000@gmail.com. That's manofpurpose2000@gmail.com.
Excellent.
And they would like to check out some of the things that we're doing. They can go to our website at www.destinybychoice.org.
Okay, I was like, don't you have a website?
Yeah, definitely. DestinyByChoice.org is out there. Please check it out. We're going to be doing some revamping to it very soon. But check it out. Domestic Violence Awareness Month is coming up next month, Val, and a lot of work we have to do. And I have to say this before we close. I can't wait for you to see the product that was done last year. It's finally revealed. You did an awesome job. Listen, when you see yourself on this, you're going to think you're Oprah. You did such a tremendous job, and they captured all of that as you led and facilitated that support group, and just a wonderful job, absolutely. And God has anointed you to do it.
Well, I can't wait to see it so I can offer it to my listeners. We have about 2 minutes left, and I have someone's hand up, their last digit, 6362. You're live on the air, 6263.
Hello, my friend. How are you?
I'm well. Good evening.
That's wonderful. I have been listening to the program, and I tell you, it was really inspiring, really inspiring. I was so touched by the fact that, you know, you really dealt with pain and, you know, how pain comes by to remind us, you know, of things that God wants us to really be in tune to. You know, pain is important. Some people don't think that pain is important, but, you know, pain is important. I mean, whether it's physical, for a physical reason or for a spiritual reason, God put pain in our life for a purpose. You know, everything that God does is relative. So I just want to just let you know that I enjoyed the show, and I'll be listening in again, and I will be playing this one over again because I missed some parts of it, but the part that I got, it was wonderful. And I just want to tell you that thank you so much. I mean, thank you so much for just coming on and sharing with us, you know, all the different things that God has placed in your heart to be shared with others.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so very much.
And salute you for that. And also, email me at soultopics@gmail.com. That's soultopics@gmail.com. And I will, those of you that are listening, also Dr. Lavinia Allen will be doing an event August 21st and 22nd here in Fort Lauderdale at the Sheraton Cypress Creek. So email me. I will be there. So if you want to meet me, those of you that have never met me, I will be at that event. So email me at soultopic@gmail.com in October.
That's right, October 21st through 22nd, did you say?
Yes, it's a Friday and Saturday.
Wonderful.
So, Jay, absolutely. Hope to see you there.
I will be in town, so we look forward to it.
You'll be in town, yes.
Yes, October is a travel month.
Yes, okay, so everyone have a good evening, and thank you for joining me on another Hot Topics from the Soul. Peace and blessings. Good night.
Good night.